Coach Mr. Novotny, and is it Mr. Kenny Walker?
Yes, sir.
Do either of you have any questions before we begin?
I do not.
And Mr. Novotny, you may proceed.
Yes, my name is Doug Novotny. I'm the attorney for Christine Thiel. She's the appellant in this matter. This revolves around a workers' compensation case. Select Specialty Hospital filed a motion for summary judgment in this case, and the court granted their summary judgment. It revolves around Ms. Thiel, who was a nurse at Select Specialty Hospital. She obtained or contracted COVID in the course and scope of her employment on April 6, 2020.
Are there any factual disputes in this case?
There is no factual disputes.
So in terms of the granting of the motion for summary judgment is purely a matter of law and is either right or wrong based on the law?
I believe so. I think there's some misstatements that were made by the judge in this matter. For instance, he stated in his opinion that there is no opinion that that one of our experts said that that COVID was an ordinary disease of life. My experts indicate that COVID-19 was a novel disease, meaning it was new. It wasn't common or ordinary. So
is that a factual dispute?
Well, yeah, I would say that's a factual dispute in my mind.
On the record, is this correct that Dr. Haroon said it was novel at the time the appellant contracted it, whereas Dr. Sauer said it was ordinary later?
That's how I come and see the opinions by both doctors. And if we look at it, nobody had heard of COVID-19 before, and it caused a great uproar in our community, especially back in 2020, early 2020. And so that was the case, I believe, in there. So in our case,
so is that a material dispute of fact?
Well, certainly, yeah. So with regards to our argument, we're indicating that the judge did misconstrue the facts of the case. And when you ask your question, there's no dispute that the defense agreed that Ms. Thiel contracted COVID in the course and scope of her employment.
So everybody agrees that's...
Yes.
Contracted COVID roughly April 26, 2020.
Yeah, for the purposes of the summary judgment motion, everybody agreed that she contracted COVID in the work.
Right.
In the workplace.
So what is the, given our standard of review, what is the error by the trial judge you wish for us to focus on?
Well, I believe that there is a, they didn't look at the law correctly. When we look at the case of Ritter versus Hawkeye, that kind of discusses what an occupational disease is. And in that case, a dishwasher was found that it was an occupational disease because they used cleansing agents on their hands and they contracted dermatitis. The court ruled that, the expert in that case indicated that dermatitis was something that was common among housewives. This was a 1960 case. And they said this was common among housewives, but because dishwashers use this agent, that they can contract dermatitis. And it was...
So the point of the comment is that there can be a disease that's out there, but also can be an occupational disease. Is that correct?
Correct. And I've cited to a number of cases...
like tuberculosis.
Correct. Tuberculosis, okay. Hepatitis, and many other airborne disease. Well, tuberculosis, airborne disease, such as COVID-19.
So what is the error by the trial court?
Well, they found that that COVID-19 is not an occupational disease at all.
Did the trial court find it's an ordinary disease of life nowadays, or was an ordinary disease of life at the time appellant contracted it?
Well, I think they're saying it's ordinary disease of life from the beginning.
Is that what the evidence showed?
No, I don't believe so. As I said, Dr. Haroon stated in her report that COVID-19 was a novel disease at the time of her contraction. And as I point out in my brief, novel means new, something that's not ordinary. And so, you know, there's always got to be a start for some disease that wasn't ordinary at the time. So in 2023, I would imagine that COVID-19 is
Did the trial court make any rulings, not about occupational disease, but let me go into a different pigeonhole, accident?
No, and the judge did not get into that, and I did not argue that in originally in the court.
Your briefs are in the appellate record, correct?
Correct.
Summary judgment briefs.
Correct.
And your argument in that brief was focused exclusively on characterizing a COVID infection as an occupational disease. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the way I thought about it was, well, this is a disease, and this is, she incurred it in her occupation. In hindsight, I wish I would have made a argument on accident, but I think the judge should have looked at that, and the beneficial purpose of the act is to find compensability when they can, or at least allow the employee to show that there might be a compensable claim there. And so I think if they would have looked at that, maybe they'd see it. There's plenty of cases that I have cited that indicate that an injury or accident can be both considered an occupational disease and an accident. And so I believe that the judge should have looked into that. You know, if it was a mistake on my part, then I should have done, but this is a new type of case.
I'd like to ask you, if we were to throw in with your approach to this, let's talk about ramifications. Influenza, every year there's a new strain of influenza. Does that mean it's a new, novel disease for purposes of the workers' compensation law?
I think every case has to be looked at based on the facts and what the doctors state. And so it's possible that there could be a new strain that's so new, so novel that we've never even heard of it before, that could be still compensable because the person that's employed may still be, has a higher risk of getting that because of their occupation.
Could it be an occupational disease and a, quote, time definiteness sense at the time of a certain worker encountering it, but later on not be occupational because it's widespread?
I believe so, because you have to look at the facts of the case. And like I said, in our case, on April 6, 2020, there's 412 cases in the state of Nebraska. That was all at that time. Dr. Haroon has said that the first strain was the most potent and caused the most issues for people. And so you have to look at those cases, and that's what our main argument in our case was. Well, there's only 412 cases at the time. It's not an ordinary disease of life.
Mr. Novotny, are you aware of any other workers' compensation court or appellate court in the country that has found COVID to be an occupational disease?
You know, most of the cases I've come across is that they haven't even got to that question because the person cannot find didn't have evidence to suggest that they got it at work, they contracted it at work. I did find one in New York was considered an accident, which is in my brief, and that was after our hearing in the original motion for summary judgment. I believe it was December 12th of 2022, and our hearing was in November of 2022. So I don't know if there's been any other cases. I tried to do some more research on that. I didn't see any. Like I said, most of the cases I see that revolve around COVID, they're getting dismissed because of the employee didn't have evidence that they contracted.
So we're at the summary judgment stage, right?
Correct.
And the case was a summary judgment in favor of the appellee, right?
Correct.
Is there some principle of law by which this case, which you would seek to send back, I believe, to the trial court, to consider accident?
Yes, and there's the case from Booker versus Duke Medical, North Carolina case, which cited the Ritter case in Nebraska because they had a similar statute. And they basically indicated that there should be no difference whether this is labeled occupational disease or an accident. If it's related to the employment and Ms. Steele contracted COVID as a result of her employment, then it should be covered under the law, under the beneficial purpose of the act. Like I said, we're trying to find ways to help these people when they get sick or injured while at work, and that's their only recourse.
How? I think you're asking us to engage in some line drawing as to when it became ordinary. How do we go about doing that?
Well, again, I think that's a issue that the court has to decide based upon the facts of the case. I don't know if you can say, you know, like they said in their brief, you can't say, you know, June of 2021 is the cutoff date. I think you have to look at the case, individual case, and see if that applies. We would say in our case it certainly applies because at the time it was early on. It was only a month after the first case in Nebraska, COVID case, that she contracted COVID. There's only 412 at the time. And so I think you have to look at the facts of the case, and we believe the facts of this case would indicate that she should be covered under workers' compensation statutes.
At some point, it became an ordinary disease of life, right?
I don't think you can dispute that. I think everybody's pretty much been exposed to COVID at this point, but not in April of 2020.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kenny Walker, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, I am Robert Kenny Walker and I represent the appellees in this matter. This case presents a simple and single legal question for this court to adjudicate. That question is not, is appellant's case compensable under the act? And that question is not, did appellant catch COVID at work, even in the course and scope of her employment? The single legal question for this court to answer is, can COVID be compensable under the act? Even if the worker did catch it in the course and scope of employment, can it be compensable?
Do we have a legal question or a factual question?
Your Honor, it's an entirely legal question. I think.
What do we do about the fact that Mr. Novotny's pointing to two different experts, one of which says this was ordinary and one of which says that it wasn't? Is that a fact question that we can resolve on summary judgment?
That's a good question, Your Honor. And I think I don't have all the expert reports in front of me, and that take a lot of time to go over all of that. But I think when the court, in the trial court below, when this court looks at the factual record, does every fact line up? No, of course not. But I think there's a clean, clear record. I think just as an exercise of academic exercise, we're fortunate we have a pretty clean record. And what if the record is just completely far out there?
So what did Dr. Haroon say?
Well, I don't recall all the particulars, Your Honor. But
did she say early on it was unusual, virulent, and only everybody seems to agree 412 cases in Nebraska? And did Dr. Sauer say something to the effect, well, nowadays it's ordinary?
I don't think the experts used a temporal line, as we've been discussing, where is this line? I don't think there was that much discrepancy.
But all we need to know, isn't it, that because everybody seems to agree she contracted this in April of 20, that's all we need to know.
Well,
what does the evidence show on April of 20?
Well, I believe at the trial court, for the purposes of the summary judgment only, I conceded that she contracted it at work. Because as the court has articulated, let's run through this. If procedurally what was going to happen, if summary judgment was denied, then we were going to have to get into where did she contact it at work. Did she go to church on Sunday? Did she go to a basketball game? Did she go to a grocery store? Who was she around? Had those people? We never even got into all that. So we only conceded that she contacted COVID at work for the sake of this motion. If this court reverses, I imagine we'll go back to the trial court and then we would get into all of that. And so I think cutting through all of the haze here, I think the key point is all of these arguments are good arguments directed at a different part of this building to the legislature. All of those arguments on when was it a new disease, when did it become...
What did the evidence show, the MMWR reports show as to February and March 2020?
And I'm sorry,
Your Honor. The morbidity mortality weekly report.
I'm not sure, Your Honor. Again, because okay. I would...
So if those reports that were entered into evidence for what they're what they're worth, right, would say, there's so few cases, nobody was keeping numbers in February.
Well,
And maybe March.
Obviously, at some point, somebody had COVID. There was one person who had COVID in Nebraska there at some point, and then it rapidly spread. But I would respectfully submit to this court, those are not the questions to ask. The question is, can it be compensable as a matter of law?
Because so is this correct statement that several courts have found that COVID is an accident?
I don't know, Your Honor.
Okay. Is this correct that some other courts have said we don't have to determine if this is an occupational disease because on this record he got it from the wife?
Have some courts found that?
Is
that
yeah, or the other social contact?
I don't know, Your Honor. And again, I would respectfully submit to the court, I don't think this court needs to go look at other jurisdictions, other precedent, because we're talking about Nebraska.
I'm sorry, I thought you said it was a legal question. That might inform us.
That's true, Your Honor. But unless another state has exactly the same statutory language and exactly the same case law, I don't think this court needs to go look at other jurisdictions. Because it is an interesting legal question that there's no precedent in Nebraska. It would be probably very helpful to this court if there was a cold or a flu case or something like that. But my key point is, I think all of those arguments.
But do we have cases where you have a disease that is out there, like you could catch it on the bus, but nevertheless, it's an occupational disease? Are the tuberculosis cases like that?
Right.
Okay.
Your Honor, I don't know, Your Honor. I don't think this court should engage in exhaustive analysis of 50 states and their occupational disease statutes, and because the statutory language is clear. I don't think this court needs to go look at other states. And what I'm getting at, the key point is, I think the legislature, when we're talking about this line and the question that we've been discussing, so when did it become a disease of spreading through the general population? The legislature could draw a line, but is it...
Or they could make a presumption.
Or they could... I'm sure
states make presumptions.
Right. I'm sure this court's come across other states that said it's presumptively compensable. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think everybody would agree the legislature would do that.
What do we do about the manner in which this... It hasn't been tried to conclusion exactly like a trial, right? But it went out on summary judgment, and you all's motion was on occupational disease, right?
Correct.
Has there been a ruling under accident?
The court did not address that issue, and I think this court can easily dispose of it because it was not raised below. But if the court wants to address that issue, those are different statutory definitions, accident and occupational disease. An occupational disease is some exposure to some foreign substance. And this court doesn't have to analyze, is it a virus, is it a bacteria, is it a chemical, just some exposure to a foreign substance, whereas an accident is some kind of trauma. So
that was my question. Has there been a definitive statement at the trial court with respect to accident?
No, the trial court did not address it at all.
Did the petition allege that there had been a workplace accident?
I don't believe so, Your
Honor.
Did
the petition allege there had been an incident?
I don't recall, Your Honor, the language of the petition, but I do know at the summary judgment hearing, both parties conceded that the appellant conceded was they were alleging an occupational disease and submitted that issue to the court. I believe the trial court expressly articulated that at the beginning of the hearing. We're just here to analyze this under an occupational disease. And I agree to that, and I believe they agreed to it as well. But my key point, trying to wrap this up, is...
What's the evidence in the record you would point to that COVID was an ordinary disease of life to which the general public is exposed?
Well, how widespread it was, Your Honor.
Evidence in the record.
Well, Dr. Sauer's report, namely. So I debated how to present a record to the court. I mean, do I just ask the court to take judicial notice of certain facts and how widespread it was, on how many people were infected, how many people died? So I got an expert report from Dr. Sauer, and he laid out generally known information about the COVID pandemic. So I think that's experts can cite to that kind of statistical, factual information. You know, I don't remember every detail off the top of my head, but 88 million people infected at that time and so many deaths, and it spread throughout the entire country. You know,
and if Dr. Haroon says it's not widespread in April of 2020, how did those get reconciled on a summary judgment record?
Well, because I would submit to the court, it's simply a legal question presented to this court. I don't think the court needs to
get... What's the legal question?
Can COVID be compensable under the Act?
And how do we answer that without reference to facts?
Well, so I guess returning to my initial answer from 9 minutes ago, I don't have those reports right in front of me, but I don't think there's enough discrepancy between the experts, because I don't recall exactly what Haroon said, but
She said early on that it wasn't widespread.
Okay.
And then Dr. Sauer says later on it is widespread.
Okay.
And do we take inferences in favor of the non-moving party?
Well, again, it just comes back to, so then what is this court supposed to do? Is it supposed to draw lines? So even if there is a factual dispute, conceding for the sake of argument there is a factual dispute, what is this court supposed to do? The legislature could draw a line, but is this court, I guess the court could say there's a factual dispute for when the trial court has to figure out when it became a disease of ordinary life, and then we probably just start the cycle over again, and we're back here in 2 years.
In the language of the cases, the phrase time definite appears, right? It does. So so we're working with a time definite occasion.
Time definite in terms of when the person contacted COVID?
Yeah, the set of facts as best we know from the record. Right.
Okay,
So I don't know that we're drawing a line about at which point it was widespread. I think we're drawing a time it was widespread on a certain date.
Okay, so, but respectfully, Your Honor, may I answer?
You may.
I fail to see how this court could address that issue without drawing a bright line. So then it would lead to precedent where somebody who contacted on April 6th of 2020, it's compensable, but somebody maybe on June 2nd of 2020, it's not compensable. I just fail to see how this court could craft a rule addressing those issues on time definiteness without...
So you want a rule of general application?
I think this, respectfully, I think this, my clients pray that this court rule as a matter of law that COVID is not compensable, even if it is caught in the course of scope of employment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? We do not have time for rebuttal, counsel, so you are excused. Thank you very much. And the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Hammond. Justice Frydenberg is recused from this case, and the court will be joined by Chief Judge Pirtle from the Court of Appeals. So, counsel, let's give everybody a second to get in and out of the court.